to a thicket that he didn't come back. At first I could hear him snuffling around, and then I could not. I called and called for him and finally turned for home. I thought of him in the anonymous woods, searching and refusing to face me until he had done what I had asked of him. He might never come back. My stomach got heavy. When I got home, I confessed to my mother, feeling ashamed. We took the car to look for him but couldn't find him. "He'll come back," she said, but I knew she was trying to comfort me. Later, as we sat reading, we heard a crashing in the woods by the house. Out came Finn from the goldenrod, mud-draggled, adorned in prickers, tail high, tennis ball in his mouth. He dropped it, wagging his tail. Here. Like a woolen blanket, responsibility settled over me, thick and confining. What I loved wasn't as safe as I thought it was. Some afternoons we just messed around in the big field by the cabin. I would run into the shoulder-high grasses and Finn would follow me, darting off to sniff at things, turning back to make sure I was okay. One day, as we were out in the field, Finn began circling wildly, paying me no attention. It was some excitement native to his being. The circles got tighter and smaller, and then he stopped stock still, one foot drawn up. I thought he had gone crazy with epilepsy like our old dog, Puck.